Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Mustek is a good example of a couple of things. The first is that a company trading on a low multiple can simply keep trading there, with the share price then moving based on earnings rather than a multiple re-rating. In other words, don't assume that just because something is trading on a 3x price earnings multiple, it will automatically somehow move to 5x. That's just not how it works. You need a catalyst for these things. And when it doesn't work out, this is typically known as a value trap, and with good reason. The second thing we can learn from Mustek's latest results is that lucrative parts of the market attract competitors. Mustek made a lot of money on green energy products, and unfortunately, everyone is now playing in that space for obvious reasons around Eskom, leading to compression in gross profit margins and an overall reduction in the appeal of actually supplying these products. Welcome to the laws of supply and demand. They are the cornerstone of economics with good reason. With revenue down by 13%, headline earnings per share fell by 59%, and Mustek's share price is down 40% over the past 12 months. Curro is saying one thing about trying to fill its schools and is doing quite another when it comes to tuition fee increases. The company is facing a lot of headwinds in the South African middle class right now, and this is its core customer base. Trends ranging from immigration through to high interest rates and all sorts of other pressures are weighing down on South African consumers, which means many of them either can't or simply won't go the route of sending their kids to Curro versus government schools and other private schools. Now, having struggled to make meaningful improvement to the capacity utilization of its schools, and with an overall feeling that they are still running behind where they want to be, Curro went and pulled the other big lever in 2023 and increased tuition fees by a whopping 12% instead. Now, this drove a total revenue increase of 15% because the number of learners was only 2% higher, so that did great things for HEPS. Headline earnings per share, that was up 19%. But the bigger question here is, what might these tuition fee increases do for long-term demand from consumers? I mean, if affordability has been a problem, you surely can't fix that by making schools even less affordable. I'm concerned about a short-term gain at Curro and potentially a strategy that might be hurting the business over the longer term. There have been many recent examples on the market of companies that have struggled to grow their profits due to the pain of having to pay the bankers before the shareholders. Balance sheets have gotten bigger in a period of inflation, and banks have been really enjoying the effect of higher interest rates. Interestingly, the recent credit loss performance has actually improved at the banks, with Nedbank, for example, having a notably better second half to its financial year. But I want to focus on Sea Harvest here to actually view this through a corporate lens rather than a banking lens. In Sea Harvest's latest results, they grew revenue by 6% and gross profit was up 13%, which sounds very good, right? Sadly, the first problem here is load shedding and other cost pressures, so operating profit was actually down 2%. And then the second problem is these net finance costs, which is why I spoke about banks before delving into the Sea Harvest numbers. Net finance costs were up 79% at Sea Harvest. Now, luckily, the company is not sitting on tons of debt, so headline earnings per share was actually only 5% lower. And they did also manage to reward shareholders with a slightly higher dividend despite the drop in HEPS, so the payout ratio has moved higher. That does say something about the confidence of the management team in this environment, perhaps because of a 5% increase in the total allowable catch, giving them something to get excited about going forward. Of course, there's also major focus there on the acquisitions from TerrAscend, as this is the biggest strategic step that the company is currently taking. Quilter is not a company that gets enough attention from South African investors, in my opinion. This is the UK business that was separated from Old Mutual and renamed. It's an asset and wealth management business that has put a lot of focus on distribution of products, rather than just waiting for money to fall in from the sky. This is very powerful, as it means there's a consistent growth underpinning assets under management and administration, which of course is the lifeblood for these types of businesses. Asset managers without distribution are far more beholden to the rise and fall of equity indices, as this is the major driver of the extent of their assets under management. I always look out for the movement in net flows at businesses like these, i.e. an inflow or an outflow, as a measure of success. They can't control the markets, but they can control how they sell their products to clients. At Quilter, assets under management and administration increased by 7%, and 1% of that is attributable to net inflows. So you can see that it does help. Now, it may not sound like much, but 1% does make a difference, especially when you have strong cost management. Adjusted profit before tax was actually up 25%, and the dividend moved higher from 4.5 pence per share to 5.2 pence. And that gives you another clue, the pence, rather than the rand and cents. Because not only is Quilter doing a great job of growing its business in the UK, but of course it is also a pure rand hedge. This is literally an offshore business that you can buy right here on the JSE. And with the rand having been so weak and Quilter managing to grow, this has made it a very attractive combo when viewed through a South African lens. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.